This episode of the FitCast is brought to you by MovementLectures.com. Keeping up with the current changes in training and rehabilitation is nearly impossible, but downloadable audio lectures in your car or your mobile device or from your computer can help you keep up to date. Current, inexpensive, and recorded by the top experts in strength and conditioning and rehab, visit MovementLectures.com and use the coupon code FITCAST for a free $5 lecture. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 289, if you can believe it. I am Kevin Larrabee, and along with me back on the show is Molly Galbraith. Molly, did I get your last name right this time?
You did get it right. Yay, man. Galbraith. Yep.
Awesome, because I was up until like 2 in the morning looking in the mirror, saying that name over and over and over again, just to creep you out right now.
Yes, well, you did it so well. I don't think you've even said it incorrectly before. Other people have said it incorrectly, but honestly, I don't care because it looks like Galbraith or Galbraith, and I think we're just redneck here in Kentucky and say Galbraith.
Perfect.
Molly Galbraith, yep.
Awesome. So, anyway. Well, we have a jam-packed show lined up for everyone. A couple things I want to hit on real quick before we get going. First off, this is kind of like part one of a two-parter. Because Cassandra Forsythe is going to be coming on for episode 290 to, again, kind of not continue the discussion that we're going to have today, but you guys are working together on something. And yes. I haven't had Cass on in forever, and there was a boatload of questions that we got for her. And, you know, it's like the FitCast. It's basically me catching up with people these days.
Dude, Cassandra is like one of the OGs. Like, so much respect for her. It's ridiculous. I remember when she first sat down next to me, we were at like a fitness business weekend or something, and she kind of snuck in late to the conference or whatever, and she just looks at me and she's like, is this seat taken? And I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're Cassandra Forsythe. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You know, New Rules of Lifting for Women, the Women's Health Perfect Body Diet. I mean, she's just like, she has done it, and she like totally
she's
paved
the
way.
Right?
Oh yeah. She's fantastic and she's hilarious. So she's totally kind of paved the way for like this newer generation of women to make a difference in women's fitness. So I am absolutely ridiculously thrilled to have her involved with this top secret project that I'm going to be revealing on the show today. So,
yeah, she was like my big sister back when I was really getting into this stuff back in 06. And she even was on a bunch of the episodes. I don't remember what generation it was, but she was on the show a lot. And it will be great to have her back on. And with that being said, you know, leading up to episode 300, the next 10 episodes, this episode is also very important, but the next 10
episodes. I was going to say, dun, 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 who's going to be on number 300?
Yeah, like the thing that I have sketched out for the next 11 episodes or so is to get on kind of the guests that have been on the show a lot, or they're on the show in the beginning and kind of really helped me out in the beginning, or have been big fan favorites. So just to drop some names of who I am scheduling, or you know, the John Berardis, obviously Cass, and she's been on you know, so many episodes. And also Dan John, obviously.
I knew Dan John. I knew those names were coming. I knew the Johns, the Dan John and the John Berardi. I knew those were coming.
Yeah, and it's crazy because Dan John might have taken the seat from, I think it was probably the people that weren't regulars. He might have taken it from John Romanello.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, John was on a bunch for a time being. But
yeah, another John Romanello.
Yeah, what's up with that?
What's up with the Johns being amazing and everyone being obsessed with them?
Yeah, so, man, maybe that's something I get to think about a little bit. too many Johns. And obviously,
you should have a triad of the Johns for 300. That's perfect.
A triad?
A triad of the Johns for the 300th episode. That would be amazing.
John Fass can get involved. And
oh, yeah, John Fass. Oh, God, there's so many. Yeah, I keep forgetting. We love you, John Fass.
So that is, it's developing, but I do have some names written out. If you can kind of think of, you know, who are important. Like at the beginning, I've talked about this before, but Craig Ballantyne was on like the very first he was the very first interview that I did, and he was the first one to say, you know, Kevin, I love what you're doing. You know, here, I'll, you know, sponsor the show for a couple episodes and, you know, help you get some equipment and get up and running. So, man, like it's,
That's cool.
It's been a good run. And we're hoping to keep it going. And that's the second thing I want to quickly talk about is you probably heard we do have a sponsor for this show, but we do have costs that come along with the show. And it does take a lot of time to prep and to keep these things going. And if you have enjoyed the show for the last almost 300 episodes, it would be awesome if you can submit a donation at thefitcast.com. You can just go to the right-hand side. There's a little PayPal button. You can click on that and you can donate $2. You can donate $5. You can donate whatever. I mean, we've had a couple people that have been like super gracious and donated $100. Wow. So again, it's going to help with keeping this thing going with like talking off the air with Molly about how my life is kind of all over the place right now in terms of working on stuff at MBSC and the cool things that we're doing with licensing and Body Bible Online, and we're doing some awesome certification stuff. So I want to make sure I can budget this time and I can keep it going. And that is one way to do it, to basically make this a job, which sounds bad, but it's one of
the most fun job ever.
It is. And, you know, I love doing it. But again, it's one of those things where you kind of say, all right, well, you know, I had $150 donated. That means, you know, I'm going to get in an episode and things like that. And other other podcasts have used services to have like a, not like a Kickstarter, but have like a certain mark where you would do, you know, every time you put on an episode, people would donate $2 per episode or something like that. And cool. I don't want to try that. I think it's just cool. Like if people can do it, you know, we have a lot of listeners, and if you've gotten something out of these last 300, that's the best way to do it, because it's not always going to be where you're going to find great, you know, sponsors like Larry Draper and the PT Advantage and stuff like that. So again, that's my little spiel since we haven't really talked in a while. But Molly, we're here to talk to you.
Yeah, but I was going to say really quickly, you're casting a vote with your money. You know what I mean? Like, can you skip Starbucks for a day to throw $5 towards the FitCast? And again, that's something that I will talk about when we get into this product. There's so much bad stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are people who know better. If they're listening to the FitCast, they probably know better. But there's so much bad nutrition, training, fitness, supplement, diet information out there. Like, cast a vote with your money for something good, and more good stuff inevitably has to crop up. You know, it's just like, again, I talk about that with the program that I'm going to be talking about with Girls Gone Strong. Like, you have a chance to make a difference, so that the reason that the freaking Ab Circle Pro or whatever that they keep making crap like that is because it makes money.
Yeah.
So when something good comes out and then one of those dumb fitness gadgets, you know, sees a little hit to their profit margin or their bottom line or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, so-and-so just put out this awesome program. Maybe, just maybe, if we made our stuff better, if we made it, you know, more, whatever, more scientifically proven, more, you know, just better, then they would start making better things. So anyway, yes, anytime you purchase something or donate to something that is, you know, based on good information, that's based on people that actually want to help people and that actually know what they're doing, you're casting a vote and encouraging more good information and good products to be put out there. So there you go. There's mine.
Yeah. And not to go off the rails, but that's, you know, with what we're doing on the FitCast, I am terrible at marketing. I am super bad at that stuff. And, you know, it's even, you know, there's marketing techniques that I totally disagree with and that can be bad. And that's why everyone that I have on the show, you know, I do look at what they're doing. I'm making sure they're not doing any shady stuff. So everyone that you hear on the show gets my kind of seal of approval, and hopefully, over the last 7+ years, that is, built up to something
that means something, right?
Yeah. It's actually been 8 years now. We just, this month is the 8th year that I've been doing it, which is,
dude, I totally remember fangirling on you like so many years ago. My old training partner, Sarah Martin, who's a brilliant PhD in neuroscience and is getting ready to finish her doctorate in physical therapy, was like, oh my gosh, I listened to the FitCast today and I loved them so much.
She wrote in a couple times. The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, she's great. So anyway, we used to talk about you guys and how much we loved you. And then the fact that I was going to be on, you know, I could about have a heart attack. So anyway, but all right, let's get rolling. Let's get people the info that they want. So send Kevin Larrabee money to support the FitCast, and we love you. And yeah, there's that.
Yeah, let's keep it going past 300. I'm not going to stop doing it. But again, it will help keep the episodes coming at a regular pace as things get crazy. But we have our first question from Natsumi, all the way from Japan.
I know Natsumi. She bought. She was the first person in Japan to buy Girls Gone Strong apparel. Holy moly, love her. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. She is quite possibly the nicest person you'll ever meet. And hopefully you guys will meet at some point. Yeah. She asks, Molly inspires tons of women to be strong and self-confident, and that's really awesome. I want to inspire Japanese women and tell them that it is okay to be physically strong too. So I wanted to ask her if she has any advice or ideas, first step to start inspiring people or something like that.
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I'll be totally honest. You might be able to help me out here, Kevin. I'm not super familiar with Japanese culture, so I don't know if it's like, you know, something where it's totally discouraged by everyone or if it's not. Okay. Is it?
Kind
is
of that... Unfortunately, it's the case where, you know, it's a lot of toning and for men and for women. There's really in that market, there's a growing trend towards functional training. Like that's the big thing over there right now.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Otherwise it's bodybuilding or jogging.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully Natsumi, I mean, she seems like she's already making a bit of a difference over there. Leading by example is the best thing that you can do, because when people see the results that you're getting, they see how happy and healthy and strong that you're feeling from doing the intelligent training. You know, leading by example is the best way. That's the only way to make a change. You know, it's like that, who is it, Margaret Mead, a small group of, you know, citizens are the only people who can ever truly make a change. I mean, it's going to have to be probably organic. So, you know, wearing her Girls Gone Strong shirt, you know, people seeing how empowered and confident she feels in the gym, seeing the results that she's getting, seeing how happy and healthy she's feeling is going to be the best way for her to make a difference. And then taking the time, I mean, it's probably going to take a decent amount of her time to educate people who ask her about what she's doing. Why are you doing this? You know, we don't understand. Why are you doing this? Well, because, you know, research shows that, you know, you have to lift progressively heavier weight over a long period of time in order to continue to see progress, things like that. So she's going to, if she wants to really start a change, she's going to have to spend her time, you know, educating other women and hopefully starting her own kind of maybe lifting group, or, you know, bringing people under her wing and being willing to show them what to do in the gym, I think is the best way to do it. And hopefully sending them to a place like Girls Gone Strong to, you know, see, I mean, that's the whole point. We want to be a hub where women can get good information, you know, read about the spotlights of the other women who are out there training and trying to make a difference and trying to change the landscape of female fitness, sending people to our website and seeing, you know, what healthy, happy, and strong really looks like.
Great points. And shout out to Robert Palka, who has been helping her, you know, get in the gym and stuff like that, and has been a good influence in helping get her. He like buys every book out there.
And
lets her borrow them. So
that's so cool.
She's going to be out in the United States this year on the West Coast. So hopefully you're out there talking or something like that. You guys can meet up. But in terms of getting like a group together, do you think the best way to do that is just to, you know, hit up Facebook? Like, is there like a forum that you would recommend for women?
Well, you know, we were wanting to start like a Girls Gone Strong kind of connector page on either on Facebook or on our website. But then we realized kind of the liability that comes along with doing that. Like, oh, hi, Craigslist killer. You know, like we connect two people that live in Alabama or whatever who want to train together. And then one of them ends up not being someone who's genuinely interested in lifting with somebody else. So, I mean, yeah, the best thing is, are there, again, I don't know the culture over there. Are there gyms over there? Like, do women lift in the same gym as men? Do they, you know, are they in a free weight section? How does that work?
It's a really tough thing over there still, because it's I wouldn't say it's as bad as it was like 20 years ago, but it's still a very male dominated society, like with the office, the male office worker and stuff like that. And the woman, you know, raising kids at home and things like that. But things are changing with the latest generation. Like they've even seen their population levels decrease, because women are becoming a little bit more independent, and men seem to be more career driven or not as interested in marriage, I guess. But The gym setups are similar to kind of what we have here in the States. There's Gold's Gyms over there that are really big. There's a chain called Tipness. And even one of the video game companies, Konami, has a huge gym chain where you can get like your Boston Sports Club or your New York Sports Club atmosphere, but lots of machines, not as many free weights.
Right. Yeah. And maybe the women who are staying home with the kids could get together and do kind of like a play group thing where the kids are playing together. And there's, you know, one woman who kind of like Natsumi, who has an idea of what's going on, is leading the other women through exercises. You know, she could bring a couple kettlebells or weights over there, or even show them just some challenging body weight stuff to get them hooked. I mean, I've never seen a woman, even, you know, from any culture, from any country, that gets in the gym and starts lifting and starts making progress who isn't instantly hooked. I mean, it like the weights do it themselves. They don't need any convincing. You know, the first time they do a chin-up, that doing chin-ups is awesome. You know, the first time that they pick up their body weight off the floor in a deadlift, you know, they're instantly like, well, I want to do more. Even, you know, we had someone at J&M. She was kind of, we always called her the debutante. She was never interested in lifting weights. Her husband was actually used to coach at a CrossFit where we rented space and would lift and, you know, has done like some powerlifting a little bit. And the joke was we could never get her interested in lifting weights. She just didn't have time for that. She'd rather get a pedicure. She'd rather tan. She'd rather whatever. But she wanted to look better and feel better. So she started coming to the gym, and she came home from the gym one day and she had deadlifted 135 pounds for 5 reps. And her husband told us later that she looked at him and she was like, I wonder what I can do for one. And she was so excited. She was like, you know, she was literally wondering what her max was after she did 135 for 5 pretty easily. And so, I mean, if you get them starting to train, if you get them in the gym, or even just moving their body in a way that is, you know, allowing them to get stronger and see results, they're going to be hooked. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough one. Thanks, Natsumi, for practically stumping me on my first question.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that, I would say is just to reiterate what you're saying, like get a couple of kettlebells, get a couple of TRXs. There's lots of public parks and things like that.
Yeah. And if you get a group of women, like even two women, I mean, it's going to grow organically when they see how much fun you're having and the results that you're getting and how healthy and strong you feel.
Very cool. All right. Well, hopefully that helps. And I think it's something that's even applicable to anywhere, you know, women are, because again, it's unfortunate where you go into a weight room and it's still, you know, predominantly men.
Right.
And it can be a not so inviting environment for women out there. Like it might even be a case of, like, I don't know, you must get questions from women about like, just how do I find a good gym? That's going to be like, that's not a Pilates gym. It's not like a Curves, but it's also not, you know, a meathead, like crazy gym, just somewhere where they just want to, you know, find a good place to live. Are there any chains that you recommend or anything like that?
Oh gosh, any chains? I'm trying to think. I've only been, we have a great commercial gym. If you're in kind of the Kentucky or surrounding areas or Tennessee, there's like Lexington Athletic Club, mm-hmm. Louisville Athletic Club, Franklin Athletic Club. They generally tend to be nice. Anything that's an athletic club tends to be a little bit nicer and a little bit less meatheadish. But then again, that can lend itself towards, you know, not really having a ton of free weights and not having a bunch of people seriously lifting in there. So most chains, if you go in like the later evening, I've found like after about 7 o'clock, you're going to see some more of the more serious lifters there. If you see somebody squatting and they're wearing Chuck Taylors, generally there's someone who knows at least a little bit about serious lifting. And if, especially as a female, if you just go up and ask and say, hey, I noticed that you squat and I'm interested in learning how to squat. Can you please help me? Like lifters are some of the most humble, like willing.
Okay. Little internet difficulties. The pipes got clogged a little bit, but Molly is back on. So apologies for that. So Molly, I'll let you finish.
Yes, I'm back. So sorry about that. One other thing I was going to say is go to a website like, you know, Functional Movement Screen or Strong First or RKC and see who the certified instructors are in your area. That's also works really well. So again, I know not everybody agrees with the FMS. You know, kettlebells aren't the be all end all, but people who are certified by RKC or Strong First or people who are, you know, FMS certified at least understand the way that the body's supposed to move and are concerned with good movement. And so if you look up the person and then find the facility based on the person, at least maybe talk with them a little bit, maybe get a couple sessions with them. That's going to always get you off to a good start as well.
Very cool. Yeah. I think if you're into the kettlebell stuff, I think that's just a great way to go about doing it. I mean, we're so lucky to have the, you know, two really good kettlebell certifications these days out there for people to find someone that is doing things right and not, you know, selling a DVD on kettlebells and doing swings completely wrong. So.
Not naming any names. And to be honest, I don't know much about HKC, so I'm not sure if it's a great organization or not. It probably is, but again, don't know a lot about it. But yeah, they just understand good movement, understand kind of how the body's supposed to work, and are interested in, you know, progression and getting people strong. So strong first. That's why it's called strong first.
Yeah, before we get into any other questions from the audience, I'm going to be a little selfish for a second and bring up one of the really cool things that you guys have been doing. Just talking about body image on Facebook for, and I mean, you've been primarily focusing on women, but I think in this day and age, men have just a big of an issue. Not as big of an issue, but you know they're fighting with the same things too about. Body image, thinking that they should look like the insert latest movie, the latest 300 or whatever. So
yeah.
I was just wondering, you know, what was the, could you talk a little bit about that? And also what kind of results did you see from that? What kind of feedback did you get from that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in case people don't know what Kevin's talking about, I did a 28-day Love Your Body Challenge on my website, which is mollygalbert.com. And I had the idea because, you know, body image and loving your body and all these things, there's things I'm really passionate about because I struggled with them for a long time. I was, you know, overweight for a period of time. Then I did figure competitions and then my body rebounded. And then I got sick with Hashimoto's and PCOS and all these other issues. And I've really dealt with a lot of scrutiny in the industry because I don't walk around, you know, with veins in my lower abs all the time. And I'm a taller girl. I'm a bigger girl. I'm 5'10 and a half and, you know, fluctuate between 160 and 180 pounds, depending on what's going on. You know, after my dad died, my weight went back up, you know, so anyway, it's been really important to me to help women with that. And the purpose of the Love Your Body Challenge was people don't know where to start when it comes to improving their body image, their self-acceptance, their, you know, body embracement. And the only way to get started, the only way to get good at anything is through practice and repetition. And so I thought, you know, 28 days of women, you know, reading these short little blog posts and having these reasons to love their body and having these mantras that they can repeat to themselves and these action steps, and all of it can be done in less than 10 minutes a day. That's the only way for them to start improving the way that they look and feel. The way that they feel about the way that they look. And so the 28-day Love Your Body Challenge, again, every day there's a short blog post. There was a mantra of, you know, why you should love your body, why you should be grateful for what you have, and then an action step, whether you write a letter to yourself about why you love yourself, whether you, you know, write down the ways that your body surprised you in a positive way, whether you write down the reasons that you feel healthy or strong. It's just that repetition over and over again of reasons that you should love yourself and be grateful for yourself. The response was absolutely out of this world overwhelming. Before the Love Your Body Challenge started, I had people answer 10 questions and rate their answers on a scale of 1 to 10. And they were things like, you know, how often do you look in the mirror and think that you look really good? You know, how often do you say negative things to yourself? How comfortable do you feel in a swimsuit? How comfortable do you feel during intimate moments? Things like that. And these women, obviously one being the lowest score, 10 being the highest, these women had scores of like 20. That means they're constantly saying negative things to themselves. They're constantly saying negative things about their bodies to other people. They don't feel comfortable in a swimsuit. They don't feel comfortable, you know, being intimate with their husband. I mean, it was just awful. And people had scores jump all the way up from like 27 to 70. I think I had one woman. I mean, but that was pretty normal. We had people go from 30 to 60, 27 to 70, 25 to 55, you know, make these huge improvements in the way that they were feeling about themselves. And then there were these huge quantitative leaps. And that's what I wanted. I wanted them to be able to see how did this actually improve and be able to measure it, you know, quantitatively. And then from a qualitative perspective, the letters that I got from these women were overwhelming. For the first 3 days of the challenge, I just sat in my bed reading what they were saying and crying. And my boyfriend's finally like, okay, you've got to get out of bed. You've got to do something besides sit in bed and cry at all these responses that these women are sending to you, but they were absolutely amazing. So anyway, that was, yeah, that was extremely, extremely cool. And the nice thing is it's a self-guided challenge. So you didn't have to start on March 3rd. You know, you can start at any time that you want, go through all 28 days, and you don't have to do it perfectly. You know, maybe you're not comfortable talking out loud to yourself, looking in a mirror. Totally get that, you know, but if you just read it, you know, maybe the first time you go through it, you just read a blog post every day. Maybe the second time you go through it, you read it and you say the mantra once. Maybe you do it again and you feel comfortable doing the action step. But anything that you do is better than what you're doing now, if that makes sense, if you're not doing anything. So,
yeah, I find it an interesting topic to talk about, because the whole, I might have talked about this the last couple episodes, but the whole mental side of wellness or fat loss, whatever you, however you want to, you know, put it, and how it kind of affects people in the industry too, because I'm one of those people that is never going to walk around with a six pack. Like you know, I was a really fat kid growing up, and, you know, I still, you know, eat junk food from time to time, and I like to go out and stuff like that. But That's still one of the big things that I kind of keep my eyes on, to see what people are talking about with that, because I still think there's a lot of negative, there's just way too much negative stuff.
There about is, that. And this pendulum has swung where everyone's like beast mode, hardcore, no days off, like, you know, and it's like eat lean, train mean, you know, be insane, like all this stuff. That's like, I'm sorry, what? Like what is going on? And it's become so trendy. It's like, oh, you don't eat, you know, this exact, you know, you don't eat chicken and broccoli measured on a gram scale for every single meal. You're not dedicated. And it's like, wait, I'm sorry. Fitness should enhance your life, not be your life. But I mean, that's how I feel. There are some people who fitness is their entire life. And if that is what fills them up and makes them happy, that is perfectly fine. It's not, I'm not to be the judge of that, but for the average person, they just want to look better and feel better. Mm-hmm. And so making them feel like they're not dedicated or they're not good enough, if they're not willing to make those sacrifices, is absurd. And then no wonder people want to go eat McDonald's five times a day, because they feel like they can't do the six meals a day in a Tupperware cooler that's, you know, measured out and where they're counting every single one of their macros. So then they feel like there's no point. And so then they go off the deep end the other way. But if you say, hey, if you just make some better choices, if you can just get in the gym 3 days a week for 45 minutes, you know, eventually, maybe you start out going one day a week to the gym. But if you just start making better choices on a regular basis, you're going to see success. You don't have to be all or nothing. I was having lunch with Jen Comas-Keck yesterday, and she pulled out this little tin of mints, and I ate one and it was really good. And so I ate another one. I was like, oh, dude, I totally got to add this to my macros for the day. You know, we both just started cracking up. Because
you
got to
log
people...
it. Hope you had your phone and your calorie app.
Exactly. And I actually wrote an article called How Is Being Really Lean Really Worth It? Mm-hmm. And by the title of it, you'd think that my answer would probably be no, but that wasn't my answer. My answer was, I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that for you. Let me educate you on some truths. And some truths are, you know, some people are going to be able to maintain a leaner physique than others. For some people, maintaining a really lean physique is a huge stressor on their body. When I did figure, I lost my period and I felt like garbage, and I ended up being diagnosed with Hashimoto's and PCOS and adrenal dysfunction. So, you know, but is it worth it for you? You know, you have to miss out on, you know, life events and social events. And, you know, you end up being at the gym, you know, a couple hours a day and things like that. For some people, that's what it takes. And you have to determine what it takes for you. For some people, it doesn't take that much because they're just walk around naturally leaner. For other people, they have to make huge sacrifices. And maybe it's worth those sacrifices, and maybe it's not. And again, I'm not the person to determine that for you. I kind of always look at this axis of, let's find where lifestyle, health, aesthetics, and performance intersect. Mm-hmm. And for me, I like a really good balance of that. You know, I like to look pretty good, and I like to be healthy, and I like to be strong and perform well, and I like to enjoy my life. And so for me, I really like a good solid balance of those four. But there are times when that axis is going to have to skew one way or the other. When I was with you know, in Italy with my family for 2 weeks, my axis skewed towards lifestyle. I was going to eat gelato 3 times a day, and I was going to eat cheese, and I was going to, you know, I was going to, you know, enjoy being in Italy. But when I got really sick and my health was suffering, my health had to be number one. I couldn't worry about my aesthetics, and I couldn't worry about my time in the gym. And so, you know, again, you prioritize what's most important to you at any given time. And for some people, that might be their aesthetics, and it might be being really lean, but they have to realize that they're probably going to have to sacrifice some performance, some health, and some lifestyle to achieve that. So I think it's just people being honest with themselves about what their priorities are, mm-hmm. and then building their kind of nutrition and training program around that.
Yeah, I think people should stop and rewind 5 minutes and listen to that again. I'm dead serious. I think that's really important. It's something that I've struggled with, but you know, I look at, you know, even though I haven't ate as well over the last 6 or 8 months or 12 months or so, you know, I've gotten stronger and I've gotten put on more muscle mass. Like, so look at the positive side of things, you know, as long as you are staying healthy and you are not going out and binging and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just, again, figuring out what your priorities are, being honest with yourself. I posted something the other day that seemed to get some good attention. I said it's really important to figure out the difference between giving yourself grace and making excuses. And that's it can be a relatively fine line for some people. But again, after my dad died, I did not need to be beast mode in the gym 6 days a week. I needed to take care of myself and, you know, and take care of my emotions and heal and all of these other things. And so it's, you know, eating McDonald's 4 times a day, that's an excuse. That is an absolute excuse. No, you know, no questions about it. If your significant other is in the hospital and, you know, they're in the ICU and the only thing in the hospital to eat is McDonald's, well, then that's probably not an excuse. That's, you know, that's probably just, you know, whatever your situation is. But figuring out, being honest with yourself, could I have done that differently if I really cared and if I took a little bit of time and effort? Yes. If the answer is yes, then you were probably making excuses for yourself. If the answer is no, I really couldn't because X, Y, and Z was going on, then that's giving yourself a little bit of grace and compassion. So,
okay. See, I knew this is how we're going to roll. We're only one question in.
Oh, geez. All right, Kevin. Sorry.
All right. Let's go to Clement. He says, I know Molly suffered from autoimmune disease in the past. What was her strategy to recover her metabolic systems from that, and how long did it take? I see similarities with metabolic damage here, so it would be interesting to address this. I don't know if he's having similar issues or if he's seeing it with his clients or what.
Yeah, well, obviously that term metabolic damage is thrown around a lot. And another OG, we talked about Cassandra being an OG. Another OG is Lee Peel, your girl Lee. She wrote Starve Mode, which I absolutely love.
That I think talks she's about- traveling now. She's like globetrotting right now.
Oh my gosh, she's so cool. I want to be her sometimes. But she wrote a book called Starve Mode, and you can find it at starvemode.com. We also have it on our Girls Gone Strong site, because again, we don't put our name on anything we don't love. But Lee is absolutely fantastic, and she talks a lot about metabolic adaptation and what to do about it. Clement is right. Again, I talked about my Hashimoto's and my PCOS and my adrenal dysfunction. To be really clear, that's not adrenal fatigue, that's dysfunction. My doctor is a integrative medicine doctor here in Lexington. Her name's Lena Edwards. And she actually wrote a book called Adrenal Logic. And she talks about, you know, it's not the adrenals crapping out. It's a feedback loop issue between the brain and the adrenals. And this was after my third figure competition. My weight rebounded like crazy. I was 24 years old and I felt like I could hardly get up off the couch to get a glass of water. I mean, it was absolutely devastating. I didn't recognize my own body in the mirror. I was foggy headed. It was just a disaster. So I went to see her and she's like, oh, well, no wonder you have this triad of, you know, of horrible things going on in your body, Hashimoto's, PCOS, and adrenal dysfunction. But at the same time, she didn't make me feel like it was hopeless and there was nothing I could do about it. She's like, let's figure out what's going on and let's attack it. And so it's taken a long time. I mean, it's been a good, I first saw her in 2009. So it's been just over 5 years since I started working with her. We changed my diet. I pulled gluten out, which was absolutely huge. You know, I'm not a gluten Nazi by any means, but I do think with the people that I've had pull it out of their diet and end up feeling significantly better, I just recommend everybody do it for 30 days. If you feel better, perfect. If you don't, then keep eating it. I'm jealous of you. You're lucky. And so she had me pull that out of my diet. I did another elimination diet where we did both a blood test and a skin prick test to see kind of what was what foods might be causing me issues, pulled some of those out of my diet for a while, was able to add them back in, felt a lot better, focused on getting more sleep, focused on doing less crazy and intense exercise. There was a time when I was in the gym, you know, 6 to 7 days a week, once or twice a day, just, you know, kind of like we talked about earlier, just going beast mode all the time, thinking that that was what I had to do to get results. And just started relaxing more. Just kind of did the whole kind of Paul Check thing, working in as hard as I was working out and just taking better care of myself. And that, along with some supplementation and some medicine. I mean, I had to go on Synthroid and Cytomel to support my thyroid while I started getting healthy. And again, that's not necessarily right for everybody, but I'm all about the use of pharmaceuticals in the short term if they can help support your body until you get where you need to be. And so, yeah, fish oil, vitamin D, getting my vitamin D levels up, taking iron. I was having some iron issues. So just being under the care of a good physician who's willing to look at the root of the problem and figure out why you're suffering from what you're suffering from, and then being willing to make the lifestyle changes to feel better. So it's all about, you know, resting more, taking better care of yourself. Autoimmune disease happens because your stress cup is too full. So it's like your body can only handle a certain amount of stress. That stress could be from foods that you're eating that don't sit well with you. It could be from fighting with your husband all the time, you know, having to file for bankruptcy, hating your job, too much exercise. Like, your body recognizes stress as stress and it reacts similarly, that fight or flight sympathetic nervous system response. And if you overfill your cup for too long, something's got to give and something's going to break. And mine happened to be my thyroid. So,
yeah, that, again, we can almost do a whole podcast on that.
Yes,
really,
we could.
Interesting stuff.
So yeah, so be willing to see a professional. Don't try to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Seek out professional help. Be willing to make the lifestyle changes. There's no point in paying someone however many $300 an hour if they're going to say, well, you need to do this, this, and this. And you're like, well, that sucks. I don't want to do that. Well, then yes. What are you doing? Why are you paying them so much money for it? So,
all right, let's take a quick break. We're going to be right back with more from Molly, but just want to fill you guys in on some cool stuff from our sponsors. So stick around. We'll be right back. This episode of the FitCast is brought to you by On Target Publications, Dan John, Gray Cook, Mike Boyle, Mark Chain, Thomas Plummer, Evan Oscar, and more. Many of our favorite authors are with On Target Publications. Shouldn't you be? Books, DVDs, digital audio, video, and ebooks. Visit otpbooks.com. Use the coupon code FITC for a 20% discount off your next order. Okay, we're back. We got some more questions from the audience. This one comes from Catherine. She would like to know how Molly structures group training to teach breathing. And this is one of the things that we've been talking a lot about on the show, because with the PRI stuff that's been going around, it's been kind of blown up. We've had people coming into MBSC and doing it, and the breathing allowed me to start dumbbell benching again pain-free.
Yes.
After tearing my pecs multiple times.
Yay.
So holy crap. Like, this is the most magical thing I've seen in the last, like, probably in my life of training.
In your life of training.
Yeah. So how do you go about, you know, teaching it and implementing it into your programming, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people know I'm co-founder of J&M Strength and Conditioning in Lexington, Kentucky, about 7,500 square foot facility with just over 200 clients. In the last 4 to 6 weeks or so, I've actually walked away from working with clients at J&M to focus 100% on Girls Gone Strong and MollyGalbraith.com. So I want to be super transparent about that. But obviously, we implemented this at J&M for a long time while I was there. My business partner, Jim Laird, is the one who would write most of the programming, and he is amazing at sticking with the fundamentals and just adding in enough of other things to make some changes. So, like, for example, we would go to a seminar and I'd come home and I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is all we're going to do. We're going to just scrap everything we've been doing and we're going to add this new, brilliant, amazing, fantastic thing. And he'd be like, no, 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 no. We're going to do 4 minutes of it at the beginning of class or whatever, you know? So he was so great at keeping what he knew had worked for him for a long time and just implementing a little bit here and there. So the way that we would structure our classes, Monday, Tuesday is the same class. Wednesday, Thursday is the same class. And Friday, Saturday is the same class. Monday, Tuesday, we would focus more on pure strength because that's what most people need. And that's when they were more likely to come to the gym, was the beginning of the week when they were feeling motivated. Wednesday, Thursday would kind of be a movement day. So we might do Turkish get-ups. We might do downward dogs. We might just kind of get people down on the ground, rolling around a little bit. Then we do more kind of conditioning type stuff at the end of that class. And then Friday, Saturday was generally some really heavy sled work, some strength work, all done in a big circuit. So that was how we organized it. But we also recognized that, you know, there are kind of six things that every human being needs to look good and feel good for a long time. And this totally goes into what I'm going to talk about when I talk about the Girls Gone Strong program. But you can't just run, you can't just lift, you can't just stretch. Like you can't, everybody just wants to like do their thing. Like, oh, I'm a lifter, so I lift. Screw mobility, it's dumb. Screw running, I get out of breath walking to the fridge, you know, or I'm a runner, I don't need to lift because I run, or I do yoga, and so I just stretch and I do this and that. I don't need anything else. There are six things that human beings need to look good and feel good for a long time. And we know exactly what they are, but so few people are doing them. And the first is breathing. When you look at the totem pole of human importance, like how many other things can you not do for 3 to 5 minutes and you die? Well, breathing, heart beating, like it's pretty important. You do it 20 to 25,000 times a day. So breathing is extremely important. Soft tissue work, whether that's with a foam roller, lacrosse ball, Theracane, tiger tail, like I don't care, massage, whatever. Soft tissue work is hugely important to keep people healthy over a long period of time. Dynamic warm up. People want to go into the gym, throw a 45 pound plate on each side and start squatting. Like, no, you have to prepare your body to, for what you're about to do. In addition to that, in addition to just preparing your body for the workout, we know what people's, bodies need to move properly and stay healthy. And that's mobility in certain joints and stability in certain joints, or more. I mean, obviously every joint needs some degree of mobility and stability, but some need more than others. And a lot of us, due to our nature of sitting at a desk all day or, you know, sitting in our computer, looking at our phone, we tend to be like really stiff in our thoracic spine and not have much movement there, which needs movement. We tend to be really stiff and immobile in our hips, which are supposed to be more mobile. We tend to be very loosey-goosey in our middle because we're just not strong in our anterior core and our body's compensating for being stiff in the thoracic and the hips. So it's hard to change those things when your body's under a heavy load or under a lot of stress. So a good way to kind of get your body prepared for the workout and reset and improve the mobility and stability in those parts of your body are under like non-stressful kind of what we call low threshold situations, which would be the dynamic warm-up. So you get down on the ground, you know, you start opening up your hips, you open up your thoracic spine, you get your glutes firing as, you know, as well as they should. You get your core kind of start work on your core stability a little bit. Not only does it get you prepared for your workout, but it helps kind of reset your body back into good movement patterns, if that makes sense. So anyway, we've got breathing, foam rolling, dynamic warm-up, heavy strength training. We know that heavy strength training is critical for increasing muscle mass, increasing bone density, improving posture, and kind of cementing what you did in your dynamic warm-up. Then would be energy systems training. So some kind of cardio. In the new Girls Gone Strong program that I'm going to be talking about, we talk about the importance of both high intensity interval stuff and moderate intensity cardio. Keeping like people want to bash moderate intensity cardio, but the thing is it's beneficial. We know that having a good aerobic base not only helps you recover between sets of exercises within a workout, but also helps you recover between workouts. And it's a parasympathetic dominant activity. So it's a rest and digest dominant, your nervous system dominant activity. Most of us run around in kind of like a low level fight or flight sympathetic nervous system all day. So to get in more parasympathetic nervous system dominant activity is extremely important. And then more breathing at the end to kind of bring people back down, definitely make them more parasympathetic. There's some really cool restorative breathing techniques from a woman named Lois Laney that's really, really awesome. And again, sends people, ends their workout, flipping them over into that parasympathetic nervous system dominant state and kind of sends them out into the world in that really good, relaxed kind of state of mind and whatever. So anyway, we know that's what people need to look good and feel good. The breathing we generally do for about 3 minutes at the beginning of class. We cue people on breathing properly while they're doing their workout. And then we end the class with, more breathing as well. Again, there's two schools of thought on the breathing. I believe PRI uses kind of like a hard exhale, And we use a hard exhale with our clients to teach them to get their ribs down and to get their core really firing. Then there's the nasal breathing. That's the Lois Laney restorative method. So that's in and out through the nose, lips sealed, tongue in the roof of your mouth, teeth apart. So we generally have people start class with like 10 to 12 breaths of the hard exhale breathing. And then we might either incorporate into class with some like dead bugs or, you know, band assisted leg lowering, something like that. And then we have them finish the workout with the more restorative breathing with their lips sealed in and out through the nose. That's totally silent breathing. So, oh my gosh, was that the longest answer ever or what?
No, it's still worth hitting on a lot of that stuff. And with the breathing, like you said, it's 5 minutes.
Right, exactly.
And you get so much out of that 5 minutes. And if you haven't tried this stuff yet, really just, you don't even have to do any of the fancy, like right arm up or, you know,
right.
legs up on the wall. Just, you know, put your feet on the ground, just lay down, put your feet on the ground, like knees bent at 90 degrees and do like 5 exhales and pick either method, whether it's, you know, out through your nose with the tongue pressed up against the roof of your mouth or, you know, the exhales with the balloons or the straws or whatever.
Right. We use a fist. Have you ever used a fist to breathe out of?
No.
Yeah.
You just punch them in the stomach?
Yeah. You punch them in the stomach. No, you clench, make a fist and yep. put it right in front of your mouth and allow yourself a really small little hole to breathe out through. Yeah. It's like, yeah, substitutes a straw or a balloon because it gives you that resistance. So you have to blow really hard out through your fist. It's so super simple. So we prefer, or for most people, we prefer the rock back position.
Yep.
I've got a video of this on YouTube, but we prefer a rock back position. So it almost looks like child's pose, chin tucked, and then one fist in front of your mouth. And so you breathe in through your nose, blow out through your hand as hard as you possibly can. You think about driving your rib cage down towards your pelvis, hold the air out. And then when you breathe in again, your stomach kind of runs into your legs. So the air has nowhere to go, but into your sides and your lower back. So that's generally the rock back breathing that we start with for about 10 breaths. And then we end with the Lois Laney restorative stuff at the end. Again, the whole thing takes like 6 minutes. It's absolutely crazy that people aren't willing to devote 6 minutes to beginning and ending their workout the right way to get the most out of it. So,
and it's a huge bang for your buck because they can also check their breath to see if they need a piece of gum or a mint.
Absolutely. However, according to Lois Laney, chewing gum is a sympathetic nervous system dominant activity. So I don't know if she would like that or not.
No.
But
everyone stop chewing gum.
Stop it right now. But please, but kind of don't stop it because we don't want your breath to stink.
Yeah, or just brush your teeth and floss.
Yes.
You can do that too. Man, please floss, people. The next thing I want to ask you about is a question from Allison. She says, you have a very, or I don't know if she's talking about you or she's talking about herself, but she says, you have a very overweight female client with PCOS that seems to have a hard time with recovery based off of yo-yoing of lean body and body fat month after month. What would you do as far as perm design and nutrition to get her on the right track of steady fat loss?
Okay, so is she saying you have problem with recovery or they have problem with the fat loss or both, or is it just this person's a big mess and we need to know how to work with them?
I'm going to guess, and I will structure the question this way. I guess they may have a problem with recovery because they are not eating correctly, and when they do eat, it is not the best source of calories.
Right. Yeah. Well, if somebody has PCOS, I always recommend, I mean, you have to know what is in your scope of practice and what's in your scope of expertise. I always send people out if they have some kind of hormone issue. I mean, PCOS is no joke. You've got, you know, some major insulin resistance issues going on, blood sugar issues. Generally, people have gotten to that place because they have poor lifestyle and eating habits to begin with. And so, there's a lot more going on than just what are they eating and what are they doing with their body. There's some major hormonal implications that come along with it. Dr. Brooke Kalanick-Larson is a good friend of mine. She specializes in working with women with PCOS and Hashimoto's. She actually does a PCOS and Hashimoto's chat on her Facebook page, Better by Dr. Brooke, every Thursday at 1. I absolutely recommend checking that out. It obviously depends on the client. Like, some people are so broken that they're ready to jump into their program all out, you know, no questions asked, and just like they'll do everything that you tell them. Other people need a little bit more hand holding and kind of, you know, easing into the program. So, first and foremost, I would tackle their nutrition. I would have them walking on a regular basis, you know, 15 to 30 minutes a day, something like that, that seems nice and manageable. And I would tackle their nutrition. I would pull out the processed foods. I would pull out, especially the processed grains. I would have them on a lower carb diet. That doesn't mean low carb, but lower carb, since they're having issues with insulin resistance. Most of their meals should focus on meats, you know, proteins, vegetables, and fats, maybe, you know, some white rice or some, you know, butternut squash, pumpkin, sweet potatoes, things like that, maybe a little bit carbier, in the kind of the last half of the day. I think that that works really well for them. So they're still getting some carbs, but they're not getting too many. They probably shouldn't eat too many in one sitting, because that can cause some blood sugar issues as well. But generally about 20 to 30 grams, as long as they're eating protein and fat to help kind of slow down the absorption of those, it works pretty well, and kind of blunt the blood sugar response that comes along with eating them. That generally works pretty well. But start there. Again, I would always, always, always make sure that they're working with a professional who can tell you what's going on with their hormone levels, tell you what's going on with their digestion, so that they can be helping on that end of things. As far as the training, again, walking 15 to 30 minutes a day, just getting them moving, getting some, you know, increased blood circulation, increased parasympathetic, you know, nervous system dominant activity. And then I would hopefully add in like maybe 2 days a week of strength training. I was put up a quote the other day that said, you shouldn't be exercising to burn off fat. Exercise, you know, it should be sleep and nutrition and stress management that does those things. You should be exercising to increase muscle mass, increase bone density, improve posture, and improve your hormone profile. So many people think that they can't lose body fat unless they burn it off with intense exercise. And that's just not true. You don't need to be in the gym for 90 minutes doing a zillion exercises with tons of sets and reps and, you know, running yourself into the ground. If you have PCOS, if you have Hashimoto's, if you have these other issues, that's going to be really hard to recover from, which I think that's what Allison is saying that she's seeing with her client. So, I mean, 2 days a week of heavy strength training, 2 days a week of full body, relatively low volume, heavy strength training with walking on the other days, getting her nutrition in order, checking to see what's going on with her sleep, making sure she's getting 7 to 9 hours a night in a cold, dark room, not on her iPhone or iPad or computer within an hour or two before going to bed so her brain can calm down a little bit. Having her do some of the restorative breathing before bed to kind of relax herself a little bit. All of those things are going to be absolutely critical to helping your client recover and get the results that they want. Because part of the reason that they're not seeing the fat loss is because their body's overstressed. And again, they're not recovering. So, you know, cut back on all the crazy exercise, take them down to 2 days a week in the gym, have them walk on a regular basis. They're actually going to be doing less and getting more out of it, which I think you can sell anybody on. So those would be my recommendations for her client.
Molly, were you ever 15 years old?
Yes. Why?
All right. I got a question from you for you from Rob.
Okay.
It's not necessarily, you don't have to be 15 years old or have been 15 to answer this. I don't know. Some people jump. You've seen like that movie with Brad Pitt, right?
Where, oh, Benjamin Button or whatever. Yeah.
That movie Jack with Robin Williams. Let's just list all the movies that we can with people with age disorders.
With people with age issues. What's the Tom Hanks and the other guy who like.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. That's a little sci-fi mm-hmm. take. There's Forever Young with Mel Gibson when he freezes himself.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Creepy. Oh.
No, Jamie Lee Curtis and Elijah Wood.
Mm.
Great cast. Anyways, this is from Rob. As the dad of a 15-year-old girl, how can I influence my 15-year-old daughter to pick up weights and ignore the Stairmaster? Like most 15-year-olds, she thinks her dad is too, quote, last century. Holy crap. She doesn't know anything. I guess that does make sense, though. It would have been the 20th century. Is there a major difference between what a 15-year-old girl should do in the gym versus a 20-something? Is there anything specific a 15-year-old should do other than learn how to do the movements properly?
Yeah, I think it's the age is slightly less important than like what their training age is. So you can be 15, you can be 25, you can be 35 or 45, and your training age can be zero. So if you're a beginner, kind of regardless of your age, obviously if you're extremely old or extremely young, there are going to be some different considerations. But in general, yeah, she just needs to master basic body weight movements first. She needs to learn how to squat with her body weight. She needs to learn how to hinge. She needs to learn how to, you know, hold herself in a push-up position or do rowing movements or things like that. She's got to learn how to, you know, how to crawl, how to do glute bridges, how to do a warm up. I mean, she has to learn how to manipulate her body weight first and kind of get control of that, especially at 15. You know, she might still be growing. She might be a little bit, you know, awkward or gangly. Like, I'm really tall. There was definitely a period in time when I wasn't comfortable or wasn't good at manipulating my own body because my limbs were so long and I had grown so fast. But it's really important for her to learn how to do that first. As for convincing her that strength training is the way to go, I mean, unfortunately, like he said, and at 15 years old, anything your dad says is the exact opposite of what you think is right or cool. You know everything at 15. So I mean, maybe leading her again to pages like Girls Gone Strong, to, you know, to follow the blogs of myself or, you know, Nagar Fanouni and Jill Coleman and Jen Keck and Nia Shanks and, you know, Jen Sinclair. There's all these great women who hopefully are still cool in the eyes of a 15-year-old that she could, you know, watch and follow and kind of look up to. Again, if she's 15 and she's just being active and she, you know, obviously you don't want her slaving away on the treadmill for hours, it might not be something that you want to push too much. Anytime parents try to kind of stick their nose in the exercise or nutrition habits of a child, it can, or their child, even if their child is 15, it can be, they can get a little bit of pushback, or it could be, you know, possibly, you know, giving them some issues or complexes of exercise and food in the future. So just be really careful. Try to lead by example. Try to point her in the direction of positive female role models and let her come to you and ask questions. Again, as for what she should be doing, if it's different than a 20-year-old, not really. She needs to master the basics, master the body weight movements first before adding load, and then just have her follow like a general, you know, intelligent strength training program.
Yeah, I mean, I check out some videos of Molly's or whoever, and just show her what, you know, cool strength looks like.
Yeah,
even like just starting with get-ups or something like that without weight, something simple to get moving.
Yep,
man, get-ups are really great.
I am obsessed with them, but yeah, sorry, nothing that he tells his 15-year-old is going to resonate with her at all right now. She thinks he's, sorry, man, she thinks you're the biggest loser ever. But yeah, back to get-ups. Absolutely, absolutely love them. I've been playing around with doing them with a barbell lately, and I'm kind of obsessed with it.
All right, that's got to be like primarily a grip thing, right? Because the bars, is it hard to hold the barbell like that and keep it steady?
So
I mean, obviously shoulder stability is going to play a big role in that too, but I would think just, it's like almost when you do farmer carries and you make the turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's more, honestly, it was some grip, but it was my hands sweating. I'm a little bit scared of chalk. I have a chalk phobia. And so I'm a little bit scared of chalk and I hate using it. So I ended up getting some athletic tape
and
wrapping it around the center of the bar. And to be totally clear, that was a training bar. That was not an Olympic bar. So it's not quite as long and it only weighs about 15 pounds, but yeah, I did a get up with a 65 pound. So 25s on each side.
Yeah, that's still legit.
But man, at that weight and that, like those leverages, everything counts. I found that using two 10-pound plates and a 5-pound plate on each side, even with the little clips, is infinitely more challenging than a 25-pound plate just because they're slightly more wobbly because there's more actual weights and there's, you know, that teeny little bit of space between them, even with a clip on there, infinitely harder than using a solid 25-pound plate on each side. But yeah, I've been loving them lately.
Okay, let's go to, I think what will be our last question from Shannon. What advice do you have for female trainers who are new to training or who are looking to advance in the field? So I guess new people that are new to the industry, up and coming. And I don't know, do you have any tales of just like getting started, like anything that you ran into, like any kind of like adversity? Like I know it's some place it can be kind of a boys club.
I cannot. My whole journey has been fairy dust and unicorn wings. And like, I'm not kidding. I have been so blessed. It's not even funny. I feel guilty about it sometimes. I first got into strength training in 2004. I ended up dating a guy who was a trainer for a couple years. He was powerlifting, he was bodybuilding. I got introduced to Elite FTS and T Nation and Westside and just all these like super awesome, like, you know, hubs of good information. A couple years after that, started dating another guy who was really into nutrition and training. Big surprise. He was into a totally different side of things, but I got introduced to like Dan Duchesne and a guy named Wesley Silvera, who used to run ironaddicts.com. I got introduced to a totally different side of things. And then kind of just started reading on my own. In 2006, we started a company called Redpoint Fitness, which is now somewhat defunct, I guess, but it was a software program that helped people build their own nutrition and training programs based on what their goals were. Pretty cool. So it's just been awesome the whole way. I've competed in figure. I've dabbled in powerlifting. I've gotten to, you know, hang out with Louis Simmons. I mean, Dave Tate, all these amazing just icons in the industry. Jim Laird, again, my business partner in J&M, has been around pretty much the whole time. I've gotten to learn and absorb. I mean, I was hearing about the importance of upper back strength and posterior chain strength in 2004 from him, you know, and that's still like a somewhat relatively new concept of some people. So I've been super lucky the whole way. But the biggest and most important thing was spending time around other people who were way smarter than me and absorbing everything that they had to say. And you know, it takes a while to develop a filter. And I talk about this a lot. I remember one night in like 06, I just opened up my laptop, went to T Nation, went to their archive starting in like 03 or 04, and just started opening up every tab of every article that I wanted to read. And I was just like, I was reading John Berardi and Charles Poliquin. And I mean, just all these people who, and you know, Louis Simmons and all these people who had been putting out good information. I just absorbed it all. And I did that for months on end. I just read all these old archives and it helped me develop a filter. It helped me understand why two different strength coaches who are seemingly, you know, who are both brilliant, who are seemingly getting great success with their clients can say completely opposite things and both be correct and say, this is why so-and-so says this, because this is the filter through which they're viewing their training. And this is why, this, you know, so-and-so says something opposite and it's because this has been their experience. So getting around people who have been in the industry a long time, who are really smart, who are really passionate about what they do and just listening. You know, you might want to go volunteer in a college, you know, strength coach weight room. You might want to find a trainer at the gym who you could just, you know, start doing some admin work for in exchange for them working with you and training you. You want to read as much as you can. You know, there are great archives, like I said, on T Nation, Elite FTS, you know, Girls Gone Strong, different websites like that. Listen to old Fitcast episodes. Listen to these, like, you know, brilliant people who have been in the industry for a long time and absorb as much as you can. Secondly, you're going to need to get certified. A lot of certifications aren't really, you know, worth a whole lot. If you're wanting to be taken very seriously, the NSCA, CSCS, that's what I have. That's why I chose to get it. I'm a certified strength and conditioning specialist. It's what you need if you were going to be like a collegiate strength coach, for example. That's a really well-recognized and respected certification. We were talking earlier about kettlebells. If you want some real world, you know, because I took my CSCS on the computer, like it was good information. You know, I did have to watch people exercise and answer questions about that. But if you want to actually learn about good movement, learn how to coach people, RKC or SFG would be fantastic to get certified by one of those. And then if you want to get yourself out there in terms of like the online fitness community, you've got to start a website. You've got to start submitting articles to bigger sites. You're going to have to be willing to write for free. I've written for free for, you know, 4 or 5 years before anyone ever offered to pay me anything. And I continue to write for free, obviously for my own site and for Girls Gone Strong. You've got to be willing to put in the time and effort to put good information out there. And I'll be the first to say that there are many other people who have put much more time into it than I have. I've been super blessed. I was fast tracked. I mean, let's be honest. When you work under somebody and learn under somebody like Jim Laird and somebody like Mike Robertson and somebody like Bill Hartman, you get their combined 50 years of knowledge and all these gems, and you don't have to, gems as in G-E-M-S, you get all these gems of knowledge, you get to learn from all their experience and their mistakes and such. So my learning and my career was absolutely fast-tracked by being blessed enough to be surrounded by really smart people who had decades in the industry before I ever got to them. So
good advice, no matter what, you know, male or female.
Yeah. Learn under smart people, get certified, and be willing to help people for free. You might even have to help your first couple clients for free. You know, if you get them good results, then they're going to refer you other people. And so be willing to put in the time and effort for sure.
And not to hit too hard on this, but the whole internet thing, I know there's a demographic out there of people that don't like people who have, you know, business on the internet, whether it's blogging and stuff like that. You absolutely are going to want to do it if you want people to know who you are and know what you're doing, even if you are new to this. Just start like a training log.
Well, that and people, there are so many people in her same position, like writing online and providing content for people. And there's a difference between writing a blog, which is a little more personal, versus writing an article, which is a little more informative. Mm-hmm. But there are so many people in her position who would love to just have someone that they feel like understands what they're going through.
Yeah.
So start a blog about being a new trainer. Start a blog about, you know, what you're going through and what it feels like to try to get your first clients and, you know, what, where you're experiencing success and what you're seeing, you know, is not being as successful for you. And you're going to be able to build a following. Like that could be your niche. Like, hi, I'm new to training. And do you want to learn along with me? You know, that's going to be, if you be honest about your experiences, don't try to pretend like you're a trainer with a zillion years of experience. I have written about things that are outside of my area of expertise, and it's obvious and it's icky. You know, it's people have asked me to write articles and I'm like, well, I don't know that much about that, but I guess I can do some research and write about it. Like, ew, it feels icky. I've totally gotten away from that. Now I write about things that I know about, and people, like if you write about your honest experiences, people, that's going to resonate with people and they're going to follow you and like you because of it.
Well put. Before we wrap up, you've been alluding to it.
We've
been teasing.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, leading up to the season premiere, we just get like brief clips of Jack Bauer saying Chloe and damn it and stuff like that. That's a 24 reference. And the thing that I want to ask you about is really what you're doing at Girls Gone Strong, because you guys have been doing a lot of stuff on the website, but now you're really, you know, coming out and putting together this really awesome package. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh my gosh, I could not be more excited.
I know you,
about
and you're going to need to take a nap soon because you've been going. Like
pulling, 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. Yeah. nights has been insane. Do as I say, not as I do.
I don't like getting emails from people at 4 in the morning.
I know. My life has been crazy lately. So long story short, this is one of the first places that we're announcing kind of what is actually going on. We are releasing the Modern Woman's Guide to Strength Training on April 29th. So Tuesday, April 29th, this program is going to launch. I have myself, along with several other women and men, have put our entire heart and soul and all of us that is everything that all the goodness we have to share into this program. There's going to be, the main thing is a 90-minute high-definition video of me coaching Allie McKee through 70 different exercises. And I mean, it's just invaluable. Like it's, you know, having pictures of exercises and descriptions of them is fantastic. But to have me saying, okay, guys, this is how you're going to do a body weight squat. This is how you're going to set up. This is what the exact steps that you're going to take to get there. These are the mistakes you're probably going to make. This is how you fix them. I mean, it's just absolutely invaluable. So me coaching Allie through 70 exercises, high definition video. We have an exercise glossary of those exercises with the instructions and cues. So if you do forget what something is, you don't have to go through and watch the video again. We have 3 16-week training programs. So one for beginner, one for intermediate, one for high-level intermediate. We have options where you can sub out any of those exercises. We have 4 to 5 substitution options for every single exercise in there. So essentially you could create, you know, thousands of different training programs for yourself. If you finished one of the programs and wanted to do another one, but wanted to kind of create it yourself, we've got that option. We've got a training manual. Explains what strength training is, why it's important, gives you a glossary of terms so you know what a KBOH press is. That's a kettlebell overhead press. So you don't feel like you're reading Greek when you're, you know, looking at the exercises and reading through the manual. We talk about progress and how to progress. We have a tracking, a progress tracking guide. So it tells you, you know, how you can track your aesthetic progress. If you want to use the scale, it talks about how to do it. If you want to take pictures, measurements, use your clothing, it tells you how to track all of that progress. Gives you a place to track all of your progress when you're doing the program. So you can write down, I did 3 sets of 8 reps with 25 pounds, a little place to write comments like, this felt easy, we'll go up in weight next week, this felt hard, my right knee felt funny, you know, whatever. We also have a place to track your mood, your sleep, your strength levels, your stress levels, your, I mean, energy. Like, so that way you can say, oh, well, my waist measurement didn't go down the last 2 weeks. What has my sleep and my stress been like? Oh, my sleep and my stress has been horrible. Maybe that's why it didn't go down. So we've got the tracking guide, the training manual, the video, the exercise glossary, the 3 16-week training programs. I alluded to partnering with Cassandra Forsyth on this. She wrote a 17-chapter nutrition manual. Everything you need to know about nutrition. You want to know recommended sweeteners, recommended beverages, protein, carb, and fat sources. You want to know, you know, what kind of medications might affect your fat loss. You want to know what kind of macro ratios are good for female fat loss. You want to know calorie level. You want to know everything. It's in this manual. Then if you don't want to know all that and you just want to follow something, she has like 10 to 12 different meal plans. So meal plans for fat loss, meal plans for maintenance. If you follow paleo, if you have digestive issues and need FODMAP, if you want, if it fits your macros, because you want to create your own meals, like we have everything in this manual, but it's set up in a way that it's easy to read. It's digestible. It's simple. We have a checklist. Like, holy shit, I just got all this stuff. Where do I start? Start with this. This is step one. You know, read the manual. Step two is this. Step three is that. So literally a checklist that you can check off so you know exactly where to start. It's got absolutely everything. Then we have some super top secret bonuses that we'll be talking about during launch week that come with the program as well. We talk about recovery. We talk about sleep. I mean, literally it's anything and everything that a woman who wants to look good and feel good for a long time needs to know in order to accomplish those things on her own. And the coolest part is that it's all about minimal effective dose. It's what's the least amount that I can do to get the most results. And it's not about running yourself into the ground. It's about taking care of yourself. And of course, a train would go by right when I'm talking about how awesome this thing is. So hopefully you can't hear the train too much. Yeah, it's anything and everything that a woman needs to know to look good and feel good for a long time with the least amount of time and effort. And if that doesn't make you excited, I don't know what will, but it's, yeah. If a woman comes to you and says, I want to strength train, I don't know where to start. Bam. Modern Woman's Guide to Strength Training. Or a woman says, hey, I'm stuck in a rut, or, hey, I'm intermediate to advanced, but I need to go back and master the basics. Like it's perfect. And everything can be modified. Everything can be substituted. Everything can be kind of customized to exactly what you're looking for, to your equipment needs, to your goals, everything. So bam, there it is.
No, and I think that's really important these days to have something that's going to give you answers so you don't need to worry about a lot of this stuff. There's so many we were talking about this before we started recording, but there's so many people telling you so many different things of ways to get to the goal that you want to get to.
Right.
You know, finding something that kind of not like something that just,
it's all encompassing and it just, it's a really amazing combination of like, if you just want to be told what to do, then this product can do that. If you're like, I don't want to read this. I don't want to read that. I don't care why this works. I just want it to work. We have that option.
You did the work.
Exactly.
You did the work. You figured it out. And this is the best stuff we have right now. So do it.
Exactly. And it tells you exactly what to do. So if you're like, okay, I just want a meal plan and a training program to follow. Perfect. If you want to know why this training program's great and what it's going to do for you and how we designed it, like you can get that, you know, with the product as well. So, it's an incredible program. It, you know, a lot of people do like one 12-week training program, which is fine. You can get great results in 12 weeks, but the fact that we have 3 16-week training programs and the fact that you can sub in and out, you know, different exercises for every exercise given in the program just, you know, gives you endless opportunity and endless options for what you can do. So I'm so proud of it. I feel like I'm basically giving birth, to this. And there are so many people that have helped me so much on it. You know, I was so thrilled, that Allie McKee was involved. I'm so thrilled to have Cassandra Forsyth involved. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Girls Gone Strong is all about the community that we create. It's not about us. We want to create a legion. We want to create an army of awesome Girls Gone Strong that can help spread our message everywhere. And we think this is going to help do it. So,
yeah. And I would say even for the guys out there, it might be worth giving it a look if you, you know, have female friends or if you have female clients. Like, it's going to be invaluable to have a different perspective on a lot of this stuff. Because guys say it all the time. We just don't understand women. just don't understand you.
You don't. You don't. And honestly, my boyfriend and I, my boyfriend's going to do the program as well.
Cool.
Yeah, he was a college football player and was, you know, has just been like really strong and, you know, huge and muscular and athletic and stuff. But he also had not mastered a lot of the basics. So when we first started dating, I was like, no, that's not what your squat should look like. And I took him back to doing body weight squats. And, you know, he was squatting just more narrow stance, feet forward, you know, knees shooting forward on his toes, and he could squat almost 500 pounds like that. But, you know, we took him back. I widened his stance a little bit, turned his toes out, whatever. So anyway, he's ended up mastering the basics, and he had to go back and regress a little bit to learn how to redo all the movement patterns. But now he's getting back to being significantly stronger and feeling better and just moving better. So he stays healthy for a long time. What he was doing in football was good for the time being, you know, to get the job done and to get big and strong and fast. But from a longevity standpoint, it's important that he do the movements correctly and, you know, and stay healthy for a long time. So yeah, he's going to be doing it with me. So I think in maybe about 4 to 6 months, we'll have some before and after pictures of him and some kind of metrics of how he's improved from doing the program. So yeah, it's fantastic for guys if they want to help a female in their life look better and feel better, or if they, you know, just want to understand females more, or if they just want to master the basics, it can work too. So
very cool. And for people, I want you to check the program out. If you go to the show notes for this episode, you will also be helping out the FitCast. That could be your donation.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, they could get an amazing program and they could help support the FitCast at the same time. So. Yeah,
like I said, I'm really bad at the whole sales and stuff like that. So that is, you know, one way again. I will say it first and foremost that everyone that comes on the show, I check out their stuff, make sure it's, you know, top tier. And I think what you guys are doing with Girls Gone Strong is just fantastic. And I really hope this is a huge success for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. And I hope you guys get the Modern Woman's Guide to Strength Training. I can promise you won't be disappointed. And if for some crazy reason you are, there's always a 60-day money-back guarantee because we totally stand behind what we're doing. So
awesome.
There's that.
Yeah. So let's table it there. Like I said, what you guys can do, when it hits, you can go to thefitcast.com and click on the episode 289 show notes, and there'll be a link in there. So you can do a twofer, as they call it, a two for one, where you can do two great things in one click. So
exactly.
We will also be having Cassandra Forsythe on like in a couple days after this comes out. So we'll be talking a little bit more about this stuff, and we got some fantastic questions for her as well. So I hope you tune in for episode 290 and all the cool stuff that we have coming up to episode 300. It is really kicking off right now with what we're going to be doing with all that stuff. So please stay in touch on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinLarrabee, and also on Facebook. You can grab both of us on there to see what we're up to. But watch out, because I'm going to be announcing a lot of guests. We're going to be doing these about a week apart, and they are going to be pretty much the big ones, I guess. I don't know.
Awesome. Well, really, thank you so much for having me, Kev. And
anytime, you're welcome on the show anytime you want to come on.
Well, then I'm going to be on every episode. Is that cool?
Yeah, you got my Skype number or my Skype name thing.
I'm going to Skype stalk you.
Great. Well, I'm always on Do Not Disturb, so
that would be... Oh, man.
Yeah, sorry. So thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode. Again, check out Molly's stuff. Make sure to head to thefitcast.com. Also, jump on Twitter. If you can, please go on iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Submit a review if you have not already. That's another way you can help support us. And quick little plug, I am raising some money for charity for one of the local children's hospitals by selling t-shirts for my other podcast, Back in My Play. So again, you can hear about that on Twitter, and we'll also be putting those up on teespring.com/Back in My Play. If you're into video games, check that stuff out. So again, Molly, thank you so much, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you.